Right, so last week we started looking. I looked at Jesus as the way, and if you took some time and you pondered around that this week, I hope it challenged you. I hope it made you think. I hope you know, God allowed you even in a greater measure to walk with Him and to understand what He wants to do in your life. But Jesus as the way, you know, if He's the way, then He's the one that we need to follow. So over the next couple of, like I said last week, this week and next week, we're just going to look at that statement of Jesus and maybe just put a disclaimer in here that the purpose of these sermons are not necessarily to explain the Godhead or, you know, to do a huge thing around this, but it's more to for us to understand the impact of what Jesus said there in our lives. I think, you know, it's a statement that we quote so often, that we say, you know, what Jesus said is the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't think we always sit down and just ponder about it, think about it, get the gist of it, of what is the impact of that in my life. So I trust as we journey through this, that is what will happen in your life, that the Holy Spirit will reveal these truths to your heart. And you know, I think, honestly, I'm just sort of touching the tip of the iceberg here. There's so much that you can do in your own personal study and just seeking out what Jesus is actually just saying here. So may this just be even a catalyst in your life, just to stir that in your heart. So John 14 verse 6 says this. This is the quote that Jesus says. As Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And what we said last week is, if Jesus said He's the way, He's the way to the Father. He's the way to get to Him. And the goal is to get to the Father. And I think even in our life's journey, we all have various goals. We all want to achieve different things. We all want to go places with our lives. But if your goal is to get to the Father, then it's through Jesus. You know, and even just that challenges me in terms of, but what is the ultimate goal of my life? Where am I actually going with this life? What am I doing with this life? Is it to get to the Father? But if that is your goal, then definitely Jesus is the way. And He makes it very clear. Then He says that I'm the only way. That's what we looked at last week. And then He says, I'm the only truth. And that's what we're going to look about this morning and just explore that a bit further. Now, I don't know if you've ever been accused of something that you didn't do. You know, maybe even at school, maybe at your work, or whatever. You know, they come and someone lifts an accusation and say, but it was him or her. And you go like, excuse me? But that wasn't me. And I mean, you know that it wasn't you, but everybody, the evidence and everything sort of in that moment looks like, but it is you. And it's that's not the genre that so many movies actually take, that someone gets accused about something and then the whole movie is about this journey to try and figure out what is the truth. A lot of cop movies, NCIS and all these things, you know, is about getting to the truth, finding the truth of what actually happened. And I tell you, for the person that is accused, falsely accused, the truth is extremely important. Now just imagine this, that you know you are accused of murder or robbery or anything like that. What will you do to get to the truth? We had a friend years ago that was accused of murder. And it wasn't him. But everything showed that it was him. And I tell you, between him and his family, they literally sold about everything. Their entire inheritance went up in smoke, so to speak, to prove his innocence. It was a huge story. And I've never seen someone so vehemently fighting for the truth. And when I sat down and spoke to him, I mean, the tears and the, you know, just his heart breaking, knowing, and he says, it wasn't me. Any case, long story. But for a person that has done the wrong thing, The truth to them is the last thing that they want. If you've done wrong, you know, remember as children, you would zuck your brother's stuff or your sister or whatever. And then, you know, who is it? And you're like, whew, it wasn't me. My retreat was lekker, you know, but so many times, you know, you catch your children and wie die chocolates geëet? Nobody. It wasn't ons nie. And I said the chocolate strip here, you know, or the fingers are full of chocolate and the evidence is like, okay, yeah, you know, you're busted. But if you are guilty, the last thing that you want is actually to have the truth come, because the truth will then in that sense expose you. It reveals your guilt and you actually don't want that in your life. You know, as I looked at the statement of Jesus that he is the way, the truth and the life, if I look at truth, there's a few things that I see is true about truth. And I've got six points here that I just want to quickly look at. And the first thing is the truth will encounter great opposition. The truth will always have opposition. Not true? I mean, if you don't believe me, just go and try and share Jesus and see the opposition that you're going to get. The truth is appropriate everywhere. Is applicable to every situation. If you walk in and you have the truth, then it is applicable to that situation. It reveals what is false or exposes lies. Like we've just said, it brings clarity and guides in times of uncertainty. It brings freedom to the accused. The truth will cause the blindness to fall off your eyes. It will give, you know, just bring that. Some of them sort of overlap, but is that not what truth is? Is that not what truth does in our lives? Now let's look at these different concepts. And I mean, the first one is the truth encounters great opposition. Especially if there is a lie. If there is a lie, it will vehemently stand up against the truth. Why? Otherwise it will be exposed. If I believe a lie, if there is a lie in my life, then I will not want the truth. And I tell you, so many times in counseling and speaking to people, in, you know, when you do marriage counseling, when you do all sorts of different counseling, when you disciple someone and you bring the truth, and I know I've done this myself, the first time that you meet truth, you go like, no. Why? Because I believe this thing and I understand this thing. And to me, that is true. And then when the truth comes, I oppose it. I will stand up against it. You know, we will stand up against the truth when it is, even when it applies to your own lives. Because sometimes I think we're just scared of change. We don't want to change. And when the truth comes, you know, it's like that salt to a wound. It sort of burns and you don't really want it, because now something has to change and it's probably me. Okay, none of you have had this, but that's okay. So, from time to time, I struggle with this. So, you can pray for me. But is that not what happens? When truth comes, we go, no. And what we need to understand is when there's a lie, it will always oppose the truth. It will always stand against it. So, what do we need to do? We need to get rid of the lie. We need to reject that lie. The truth is appropriate everywhere. It is relevant for the very thing for which it's intended. When I have the truth for a certain situation, it is relevant there and it doesn't change. It will bring that, if you allow it, it will bring the change that it needs to bring. It's relevant for that situation. Like for salvation. Like for healing, like for deliverance. The truth is, there is a truth relevant for that specific purpose. And all I have to do is to receive the truth, reject the lie, and it will bring salvation, it will bring deliverance, it will bring healing in my life. But you know, sometimes even in our journey with Jesus, we hang on to the lies because why? We see the evidence, we see the stuff, the effect that is in our lives, and then we reject the truth and we choose to believe and even walk in the lie. And you can see even Christians sometimes walking in bondage because they do not allow the truth that is appropriate for their situation to come into their situation and bring change and transformation and healing. We choose to sit under that lie. We don't allow the truth to have its full work in our lives. And I need to take that truth and allow it to bring that that change and transformation just in my life. When there's confusion, the truth will help. The truth will bring direction for me and you in that place. The truth will reveal what is false, and it will expose every lie. Now, this is a bit of a tricky thing, you know, when you walk with someone, when you sort of journey with him, and you bring the truth into that situation. You know, it's like that typical thing. If you have a wound and you, you know, work with food or something, you get some of that salt in your wound, then it's nice, right? Everybody like, yeah, I want that. I want more of that. That is so cool. And I think, you know, when truth comes in and there's a lie, it needs to expose it, but it doesn't want it to be exposed. If there's something false, you know, it needs, and then the truth comes, whatever is false, there needs to back off. And I think when Jesus comes in our life, when Jesus is the truth in our lives, the reality is he's going to expose stuff. But we don't necessarily want it, right? The moment that truth comes, the lie has to give way. The lie needs to almost flee. It needs to get out of the way. I just need to allow him to do that in my life. And I think in my journey with Jesus, I'm so thankful that when I gave my life to him, that he didn't go like, you know, expose everything that is in my life at that point. It's like he took a journey and expose things at different times and reveal it and let the truth come in, that there's healing and restoration. And I'm so thankful for his grace that it takes his time just to work at me, even at this time. You know, sometimes in our journey, we pick up stuff, you know, listen to stuff, and it's a half-truth. It's not a, you know, it's not completely a lie, but it's not the truth either, so then it's a lie. If I understand scripture, you know, it's life and death. There's no middle road here. A half truth is still a lie. But the thing is, I believe it. When I encounter Christ in my life, then he comes and he brings the truth. And he exposes that in my life. So the question is Jesus the truth for you? Will you allow him to actually come into your life and expose that? Am I willing to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever the truth is, let it come into my life? Because if Jesus says he is the truth, that's what he wants to do, right? That's what he does. And then obviously it brings clarity and it guides in a time of uncertainty. When you know that, I tell you, when you follow Christ and you receive his word, you receive the truth of what he wants to do, that if you walk in that, if you follow him as you journey with him, I cannot tell you how that truth will guide your life when everything else around you looks like it's going pear-shaped and it's falling apart and it's completely, you know, it just doesn't work. It's the truth of his word and who he is that will keep you, can I say, sane? Will keep you on the right track. If I walk in him as the way, I will stay in that lane. And everything around me opposes it. You know, the everything says no, but what you are believing in is a lie. And I go like, but no, but Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. I've received it. I can walk in it. And this is what will bring change in my life. You know, it's like when the truth comes and it brings this clarity, it's like standing in a room, I don't know if you've ever done this, you know, and you strike a match. It's very dark and you just strike a match. And I mean, that's a little light. This little light of mine. You know, you strike that thing and suddenly you can see where you're going. You know, many times when you camp, it is one of the easiest ways, if you've got a box of matches, is just to go like, okay, I see, okay, frack. Okay, next. and you sort of find your way there through this. In Psalm 119, verse 30, and you should know this because you've been busy with Psalm 119, says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When I receive that truth, when I receive what Jesus wants to do in my life, it brings clarity, it gives light. It gives me understanding, even beyond my years, I will know what to do. Is that not true? Have you not experienced that in your life? When God speaks, you know, you sort of have an idea of things, what must happen. And then when you receive the truth of Christ, it just brings clarity. Sometimes a different clarity to what you want to see, because when you light that match in the dark, it's not always what you want to see. At least you know where to go from there. So the truth exposes, it brings us clarity. And then it brings freedom to the accused. Freedom is unlocked by the truth. It breaks the chains in people's lives. It breaks the chains in your life. It will set us free completely. When you are accused, and we know and we understand that Satan is the accuser of those who follow Christ, so he's the first one on the scene when he wants to accuse, when he wants to bring destruction. He's the one that comes and he stands against you and he goes like, this one is guilty. And what I need in that situation is the truth of Christ. I need the truth. Because that sets me free. And I mean, there is that scripture, isn't it? The truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth. You will know the person of Jesus Christ. You will know his word. You will bring, and that word will bring light in your life and it will set you free. But it's when I reject it, when I choose not to believe it, when I choose to walk away from it, when I don't internalize and make it part of my life, that I still sit in bondage. And I wonder how many of us are struggling with stuff simply because, you know, we don't have the truth or we're rejecting it. The truth is, you are a new creation. That is the truth. You have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. That is the truth. But do I live that way? Or am I more looking at what is going around me? And then this last point, he says, the truth will cause the blindness to fall off your eyes. The truth will reveal. It's like that skiller, like Paul had, you know, that blindness that fell off his face or off his eyes and he could suddenly see. And everything in his life changed. You know, when that happened in his life, from that moment on, he preached the gospel. He lived a life that reflected the truth of Jesus Christ in his life. You see, now you and I are called to walk in such a way that we are those that do not have the stuff over our eyes. We have seen and we know the truth. And the truth is this, is that you have been set free from sin, have you not? Don't you want to move there? I see you struggling. You have a new life. You have a new identity. And that is the truth. Why do we go back to what is old? Why do we go back to what we used to be when we actually have a new identity? You see, you are the seed of David. You are an heir of God and through Jesus Christ. You are an heir of everything that God has got in store for you. Yet we live sometimes like people that don't have nothing. So if Jesus says he's the truth in your life, I need to take that truth and I need to make it part of my life. I need to renew my mind. I need to understand what he wants to do in my life. And I need to live in that way. I cannot live in my old life anymore. And when I consider Jesus Christ, you know, this time of the year, we've had a hectic year, and now I consider Jesus Christ. What is going to change? What truth needs to come into my life at this time to transform everything in who I am? Or am I just going to go into 2021, you know, sort of on a crutch saying, I made it through 2020, you know, I'm this side. That is not God's desire for us. The truth is, He has a plan for us. He has a future. He has hope. He has great desires and plans for each one of us sitting here. And the worst thing I believe we can do is actually just sort of, you know, go like, I made it. Galatians 4 verse 7 says this, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of heir through God. You are a son, you are a daughter of God. That is the truth. So I guess the question that pops into my mind is how then can I allow my past to still dictate my future? Like we said in the past, congratulations, you've got a past. You're a winner. Would have been nice if we don't have a past. Some of us, it's better, you know, it would have been really awesome if we didn't have a past. Some of us go like, yeah, but my past is not so bad. Maybe just ask someone else's opinion on your past, then we'll see what really is, you know. But you know, I sit with the past. That isn't a hectic past, but I can still allow that to dictate and change and sort of lead my life in the future? Or do I receive what Jesus, do I see, receive the truth that I am no longer a slave? You see, your past is a lie. In the sense that the devil was there and he was sowing seed. He was sowing seed in your life. And unless I find the truth, unless I have Christ Jesus, that is the truth, I will never be able to identify the lie. You see, the only way that I can know whether this wall is level, waterpas, is not just to look at it. Because it can be a millimeter off and I won't be able to see it. But I take a spirit level and I put it against it and I can see exactly. Ooh, this meat is not so lekker. Many of the houses in Cape Town are built like that today, except the ones that Benny built. The evidence is standing next door. It's square and it's upright. You see, but how will I know what the seeds is that the enemy have sown in my life, the stuff that I believe, the stuff that I actually hold as true at the moment? How will I know that if I don't use the right tool, the plumb line of Jesus Christ, to just see where my life is at? You see, now I need to cut off the weight of my past. I need to get rid of the stuff that is hindering me from fulfilling God's plan, to walking in the fullness of what He has for me at this time. And the longer I hang on to my past and the stuff and the seeds that's been sown there, if I keep cultivating that and throwing water on it and worrying about it, that stuff will grow and the scripture and the word will never grow. But as I water the truth, it will grow in my life. You see, you are set free. So the biblical counseling again, so stop it. Stop living like you are not free. Stop living like you are in bondage. Receive the truth. You know, in John 15, probably one of my favorite portions of scripture where Jesus, you know, talks about the fact that He is the vine and we are the branches and that we cannot bear fruit without Him. It's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is as the truth. You know, even as I spoke about that plant standing outside here, you know, the leaves can only go as well as this main stem is doing. I can only bear as much fruit as what I am connected to the vine. as I'm connected to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is the truth, just think of this. Will I not then bear fruit of truth in my life? Will people not then see in my life the fact that there is truth? Because He is truth. So He cannot produce anything else. And if I am connected, if I am part of this vine, if I'm drawing life-giving juices from this vine, then my life will produce stuff that is true. So I guess that begs the question. But what if that's not the case? Maybe I am connected to the wrong vine. Maybe I am believing a lie, which is affecting the fruit of my life, which is inevitably going to kill the fruit that I'm supposed to bear at this time. See, I don't believe there's something like I cannot be free in Christ. He came to set the captives free. He didn't say I came to set the captives almost free. You know, just close, but you know, we couldn't get there. So you have to go again through this thing. No. He came to set the captives free. So I don't believe there's a thing like I cannot be free. I think the problem is when I cannot get free of something, then I am either not dealing with the lie in my life, or I'm making a choice to hang on to something that's not supposed to be there. You know, there's sins in our lives and that we're struggling with, and I think sometimes we refuse or reject the truth, or we give up on the truth. And we try, oh, it doesn't work. Many times happens with healing, doesn't it? We pray, we go, oh, it doesn't happen. Oh, shucks, you know. We trust for something. We say, God, you need to come through in this, and it doesn't happen. Then we give up. The truth is still that by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. By His stripes, you have been healed. You have been restored. That is the truth. And we should not reject the truth. See, the past of my life is a very real part of my life and your life. And like I said, the devil sowed some seeds in there. And maybe it's time to deal with some of that stuff. Christ is calling you to walk in freedom, to walk in the way that He wants to give you, to teach you where He wants you to go. And there is no point in walking in that. The truth is, He is the truth. He is the truth to get to the Father. See, Jesus is the truth, and I just wrote this down. He's the truth who became flesh. He's the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the author, the finisher of your faith. He's the truth. Through Him you are set free. He's the Alpha and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's your deliverer, your savior, your mighty God. Is there anything really too difficult for Him? I need to receive Jesus Christ and all that He is. Not just a portion. I cannot decide. Well, I guess I can decide what I want from Him. But man, there's so much fullness that is locked up in Him. He is the source of life. I need to receive Him as the way, the truth, and the life. And I think sometimes we receive Him as the way because we give our lives to Him. We receive our salvation and then we stop. We don't get on to the truth. And we don't get on to life. We sort of do the crutch thing. I'm making it. That is not Jesus' desire for you and me. It's not just not to make it. He wants us to thrive and prosper and bear much fruit. The world must be able to come and pick off you the whole time. And me. Because there needs to be lots of fruit. His love, His compassion, His glory, His majesty needs to hang heavy on us. Have you ever seen a vine that's you know got like groot trosse? I would love to see that. Then you know, when they got to the promised land where they had to carry the thing on two guys' shoulders, that's the kind of fruit, not the fruit I'm producing currently. And by that I mean I've been trying to grow stuff. My carrots are about that big, My potatoes, like baby potatoes, look like baby potatoes. I mean, it's like, it's a snack. My millies, I had one millie that big. That's not the kind of fruit you should produce. And you know, for me, even when I go, like, yes, you boil, is that now all? Is this all you can do? I had 32 plants of potatoes planted out here. I tell you, I got a little bit more than 32 back. I'm clearly not a good farmer. Hey, here. You see, maybe I didn't soil them, keep the food, and then. I can't enough compost. But you see, I think sometimes we go like, Lord, look at my fruit. I did something. Yay. It's not His desire for you and me. His desire is to bear much fruit. So saints, this morning, when Jesus is the truth, He will encounter opposition, and possibly even from you and me. Doesn't mean that it's not true. Okay? That truth is appropriate everywhere. It reveals what is false and exposes every lie. It brings clarity and guides in the times of uncertainty. It brings freedom to those that are accused. And this morning, maybe that's what God wants to do in your life. Allow Jesus to take the blindness off your eyes. Allow Him to deal with the stuff. He is the truth. He is the truth. And you know, just go and sit and even ponder on that and go like, God, what does that really mean to my life? That should be the message of our lives. That Jesus is the truth. And I know at this time, the enemy is really taking on who Christ is. Who Jesus is. He's taking on our Christianity. Doesn't make it a lie. Jesus is still the way, the truth and love. Still the way to get to the Father. We have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, we have received the truth. Because that's who He is. And that truth will set me free. And if I have the truth in my life, is that not the very thing that I can give to those that are around me? If I know the way, is that not the gift that I can give to those around me? If I know He's the way, then I can walk in that way, but I can also lead others in that way. If I know the truth, I have the fullness of that truth in my life, then surely I can give that to those that are around me. Allow this truth to just bubble up, to become a fountain in your life, to become a life stream to those that are around you, that people will look at you and go like, but yes, you do have something different. And then you can say, but I've got Jesus. I know the way, I know the truth, and I have life, I know the life, and this is who He is in me. Can I introduce you to Him? Can I lead you to Him? Because that is the truth. There's so many things. You know, many opinions, many, many strong voices in this earth that will still be silenced because this truth has not changed. This truth will still stand. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And He will end everything. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. And we all will stand and declare that He is Lord. And that is the truth. And you can choose to reject that today. You can choose to even, you know, be unsure. It doesn't change the fact that that is the truth. And saints, may we live in the fullness of what God has for us. In the fullness of this truth. May we see not just healings flow, but may we see deliverance. May we see the power of God come because the truth has come to this earth. And you know what? Cape Town, South Africa, the world needs the truth. But don't be surprised when they don't like the truth. when they oppose it. That's why we are called to be salt. Just rub yourself in a bit more. Okay? So, man, I have to love you. I'm just going to rub myself. Okay, what are you saying now? But take your salt to where it's needed. May we really see in 2021 the fruit that is heavy, that is huge, not like the stuff that is growing in my garden. May it be massive. And let's prophesy over my garden. Lord, thank you for huge fruit still in Jesus' name. And for some anointing here to put. He is the truth in your life.